Ein Kompliment.
Is the chair in already?
Good morning, Whip.
Morning, chair. Are you doing?
I'm fine this morning.
You look good. Is it still so hot? In Mpumalanga?
Yeah, it's hot. Very, very hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. But you are enjoying mealy from the maize, from the what you call the garden.
Oh, nice, yes. Nice. I must come so that I can get some to take home.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're getting ready today, so I hope we won't have a long meeting, Jay.
No, it won't be a long meeting because it's the analysis by the... It's a thematic by our research. Just to take us on board, yeah. It's for knowledge purposes,
okay,
and I open.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Morning, Chair. Good morning, Mavis. How are you?
I'm good, and you, ma?
I'm fine, my breeze. Long time.
Yo, if I put my video, almost you know me very well, that day, this area where I am. But
yeah.
I'm still alive and kicking by the grace of the Lord.
I can see you're immediately fresh.
I'm not lying. You know, Province, we are running for all provincial conferences, ANC, ANC, Click, ANC, Woman, Click, everything. So up and running, but like we are keeping on.
Even ourselves, the same. Okay, good to see you, darling.
Thank you, ma.
Sure.
Jake, can I ask if we have enough members so that we can start?
What do you think I'm going to say is?
Morning, Comrade Naz.
The King will be able to tell you whether we have enough members. That whether we have quorum.
King, can we start?
Chair? Yes.
Yes, can we start?
Can you see? Yes, I was having a problem. It was kicking me out.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but we can start now.
All right.
Is the agenda still visible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
we can
it
start,
is. Chair. Honorable members, our officials.
Recording in progress.
Our ministers. Let me take this opportunity and welcome you in today's meeting. The purpose of the meeting is to get a briefing on the thematic perspective for the portfolio committee on small business development by the committee researcher, because the role of the researcher is to assist the committee after each activity in Parliament. We had the SONA. Today we're going to have our budget speech. Since we're an oversight arm, it is very important to understand and analyze everything which has been put on the table by the president as well as the minister of finance, so that we're able to do oversight to our department, and also to monitor the department on how are they going to prepare their plan moving forward, so that we're able to be in line with their program while doing oversight. We'll be checking whether they're in line with the SONA, in line with the budget speech by the minister, and are they adhering to those plans. That's the role of the portfolio committee. So we felt to benefit and to gain deeper knowledge, our researcher must come and brief us on this thematic perspective. So you are warmly welcome. I'm inviting your concrete ideas. Feel in the meeting, and let's start so that we can end and prepare ourselves for the budget speech in the afternoon. The meeting is officially opened. I will now zoom to item 2, which is roll call and apologies.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what's happening with you. Keep on cutting. However, I'll proceed to say, am I audible? Honorable Jacobs, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you very much. I don't know what's happening with Jacob. She keeps on cutting. However, Chairperson, didn't receive any apologies. And then the members that I've identified in the platform, it's Honorable Nkosuthuli, Honorable Tlomelang, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Hendricks, Honorable April, Honorable Mieni, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Kruger.
Jay?
Yes, Honorable Kruger.
How are you?
Fine in yourself.
I just want to apologize. If the meeting goes past 11:45, unfortunately, I have to leave for another meeting in Cape Town. And I'm here in Cape Town just for the budget speech. So I had to have this meeting because it's a meeting that was postponed since last year. So I'm very sorry if I need to go out early. And King, yes, King, the chairperson is 100% able to me. So maybe there's a connection problem.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. I believe by that time we'll be done. But your apology is accepted because it's still your responsibility. We appreciate that respect to the portfolio committee. Then we've noted that we don't have even any apology except the one of Honorable Kruger, which I'm granting him that permission, but I believe will be done by that time. The next item is adoption of the agenda. Can I have a mover from the honorable members?
Okay, I move that we accept the agenda as presented by the.
Thank you. Any second, honorable members?
I do second, Chair.
Morning, everybody. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. The agenda has been duly adopted and seconded. Now I will invite our researcher to present a story to us. Nabisa, the stage is yours, my daughter.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will quickly ask Praking to give me the sharing rights. Can I share, Praking? Can I share the screen, Praking?
Yes, you can. You can. You've got the right.
Okay, can you see it?
Yes, I can see it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Members of the committee, good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable members. Good morning, DG. Good morning, colleagues. On the 10th of February, the President delivered his State of the Nation. Out of that state of the
nation. You have disappeared, Inovi, so can you proceed, please?
So out of that state of the nation address, which was held in Cape Town City Hall, he outlined several key areas that are important for the SMMEs and just the small the stakeholders of the small media micro enterprises, which are the portfolio committee, the department, and other interested parties. So the State of the Nation, this presentation today is basically just to jog your memory about what the President said on that Thursday. So overall, the State of the Nation address focused mainly on unleashing the potential of small, formal and informal small businesses to create, to grow and mainly to create jobs. And so what I'm doing today is just looking at the overarching themes, which are mainly the formal and informal SMMEs and job creation, creating an enabling environment with a special focus on access to markets, changes to the loan guarantee scheme, the business enabling environment or red tape, and paying SMMEs within 30 days. I use that term, the business enabling environment, because according to the World Bank, had the ease of doing business report, but because of a scandal that they picked up in with the putting together of the report, they are now trying to change things, and now they are using the term business enabling environment. So it's basically about red tape and ease of doing business. And then I think what is very important for us is the role and what is, and the implications of what the President said, the implications for oversight and for the portfolio committee on small business development. So I start there with the policy issues, just briefly looking at firstly the International Labour Organization, which is basically the international body that focuses mainly on employment, and it has identified that studies are constantly proving that SMMEs provide more employment to emerging economies than large enterprises, which makes SMMEs especially important for job creation. And we know that the NDP identified that a long time ago, saying that 90%, our vision is that 90% of new jobs in South Africa must come from SMMEs in order to reduce employment to 6%. And that 90% means between 2012 when the NDP was adopted, between 2012 and 2030, the sector must be able to create at least 9.9 million jobs. So I don't go into detail about what is happening, progress in that regard, but I do give an overview of what is happening currently in the employment and SMMEs. That table there shows us the number of jobs that are created by SMMEs in relation to overall employment, proving that SMMEs tend to create opportunities for more jobs than large businesses. So if you see there, I used the CEDA quarterly report and the Statistics South Africa to just establish what is the SMME contribution to overall employment, because sometimes figures can be disputed, but I decided to focus on those documents. As you can see there, on average, SMMEs, formal and informal, create about between 54 and 66 jobs in the economy. So what is happening in the economy right now in terms of jobs? If I can just go back there, in quarter one of 2021, the overall employment from Stats SA, there were about 14.9 million people who were in employment. Before that, it was 16.3. And if you go up the total number of SMMEs, jobs created by SMMEs, the 9.7 in quarter one, 2021, and 10.4 million, which means between 2020 and 2021, there has been a drop in the number of jobs created, which as a result can be seen in the current unemployment rate, where Stats SA says that in quarter three, the unemployment rate increased from 29.1% in 2019 to 34.9% in 2021. The expanded definition, that is including the discouraged workers, shows that almost 50% of the people who are able to work are unemployed. So just to give a bit of context, in Malawi, the unemployment rate, if you can see there, is 1.3%. In China, it's 5.1%. In Brazil, 11.1%. India, 8%. In Botswana, 24.9%. And as you can see in South Africa, it is very high. Yes, there are different economic conditions, but just to give you an idea of where we are as a country. And so it stands to reason then that the president focused mainly on SMMEs and their ability to create jobs, even recognizing that informal businesses are also playing a part in creating jobs. So the president said that one of the important things is that to unleash potential for small businesses, micro and informal businesses, review labor markets, regulations for smaller businesses to enable them to hire more people by continuing to protect workers' rights. So we don't just relax regulations, but we relax them within context. Review the Business Act alongside other legislation that affects SMMEs in order to reduce, Honorable Kruger, the regulatory burdens on not only small businesses, but also on informal businesses. Honorable members, the small and micro and informal businesses, even though they have this ability to create jobs, but they are not without challenges. For instance, they are regarded as risky, as a risky sector. So they are unable to get access to finance from banks and even CEDA, CIFA, DFIs, because of their profile. And as a result, because they are not able to access finance, they are not able to grow. One industry or businesses that the FIs is shrinking. The number of MFIs that are lending to the informal businesses and small businesses, the ones that were 10 years ago, there were more, and we are now left with two large ones. And SIFA was saying that smaller MFIs have ceased to exist because of different reasons. So this makes it difficult for small micro and informal businesses to access finance. Furthermore, when it comes to formalization of informal businesses, we know sometimes they don't have the skill. It's survivalist businesses. They don't have the time to be thinking about registering with SARS, about bank statements, because some of them are unbanked, so they cannot get access sometimes to finance. There are also inconsistencies that have been identified by SALGA, inconsistencies in bylaws, between bylaws and other legislation, such as the Business Act and the Constitution. SALGA is saying that the bylaws are mainly intended to protect municipalities rather than empowering informal traders, and as a result, so you find municipalities have been chastised by the court, and for being handed in removing informal traders who are just trying to make a living. Labels sometimes for small and micro businesses can sometimes be because they hide cycling. They do not provide. SMEs complain that it is also difficult to lay off workers if a worker if they can no longer afford the workers, or if a worker proves to be unproductive. And sometimes those cyclical downswings, you find them sometimes in the agricultural sector because of the seasons, the harvest seasons tend to employ more people, but the other seasons might not. So those are some of the regulatory burdens faced by small businesses. And then the SONA also talks about creating an enabling environment for small businesses. The key task of government, the president said, is to create conditions that will enable the private sector, both big and small, to emerge, to grow, to access new markets, to create new products, and to hire more employees. As you can see, the job creation theme there again. So the focus, I decided to just focus quickly on the market structure as a hindrance to the growth of SMEs and to accessing new markets. So the Department of Small Businesses in its annual report does mention that access to markets is very important. No enterprise can survive without access to markets. However, the challenge is that the South African market structure is highly concentrated. What do I mean by that? That the markets are dominated by very few players. There's no competition. And the Competition Commission also says that 10% of businesses earn 86% of the total income. You know, if you can imagine that, the top 10% out of all those businesses, that those figures that I showed you there, the top 10% of businesses earn 86% of the total income. And the bottom 50%, where that is the small businesses, the smaller businesses, the majority of businesses, people who are historically disadvantaged, that is where they fall, they earn 1.6% of the income. So you can see the disparities, the income, it is there. And the challenge with highly concentrated markets that are inefficient is that they tend to lead to barriers to entry for SMMEs. SMMEs cannot enter certain markets because, for example, if you look at the retail sector, the retail market inquiry found out that retailers keep exclusive leases, use exclusive leases to keep smaller grocers out of the market, and those leases required developers to ensure that 75% or 80% of spaces are leased to national chains. So what about SMMEs? Those are some of the challenges to access to markets. And if you don't have access to markets, the contact with the client, how are you going to grow? The Competition Commission puts it like this, that the South African economic conditions and structure are hostile to SMMEs and therefore undermine inclusion and the job creation potential of the economy. So that is one of the issues that the government has to seriously consider, how to level the playing fields so that small businesses are able to participate in the economy to the optimally, so that jobs are created and the economy grows. And also the problem with, if I could just go back, the problem with a highly concentrated market is that the same people benefit from the market, from participating in the economy. So it excludes the majority of the people of the country, and mainly the black people. So as an example there of dominant players, if you look at that table that I slided there, the Competition Commission has identified a list of dominant players in the retail sector. And if you look at retail segment on your left, supermarkets, we know that we have ShopRite, Spar, Pick and Pay, Woolworths. They dominate the sector. Those four. They dominate in economics. I think that is called oligopoly. It's a form of a monopoly. So, if you look at the market share in 2015, 57.1%, and their market share grew in 2018. To 58.3%, and you wonder after the COVID what the figures are, and I can only imagine that the market share has grown even more. That means small businesses are not able to take advantage and to enter the supermarket sector. The apparel industry, Edcon, Woolworths, Foschini, Truworths, the market share was 64.2% in 2015, but went down in 2018 to 58%, but they're still dominating. Building Home Improvement, Mass Building, Spa Building, Cash Build, these are companies that we know that we go to every day. So I think we also contribute to this highly concentrated market. So in 2015, 48.8%, in 2018, 50%. Even the new markets, online markets, Take a Lot, are dominated by a few. Take a Lot, Bid or Buy, Superbalist, One Day Only. They occupy 73.3% of the sector. So that is the market structure within the retail sector. And you can imagine that kind of a structure is not conducive for SMMEs to, even though SMMEs are also involved in the retail sector, but they are not able to take advantage or access the market as those big, large companies are able to. The other issue when it comes to access to markets, we know infrastructure, special mismatch because of apartheid, informal and small businesses, are located far from economic hubs. Transportation is very expensive, and also the land issue. Many businesses need access to productive and suitable land, as well as affordable premises that are close to workers, markets, safe and suitable for work. SMMEs face difficulties in accessing land or securing operating premises in the agriculture, manufacturing, ICT and tourism sectors. They add that land access has often been hampered by companies' inability to secure leases from municipalities. So that's one of the issues that small business development and the PC could look into, say, the leases from municipalities. And it says that consequently, SMMEs end up being located in townships, which are located in townships and informal settlements, end up resorting to operating out of illegal or informal premises, which present health and safety risks for workers. Other challenges, crime and corruption. What was interesting for me there is that crime creates not only barriers because of criminality, but because it creates barriers to the access of inputs and products, as suppliers prefer not to operate in high crime areas. So if your area is deemed a high crime area, it will be difficult for suppliers are risk averse, and so they tend not to operate in those areas. Corruption. SMMEs have reported that they are expected to give gifts to secure government contracts to obtain an import license or get an electrical or water connection. That's also discouraging, especially for smaller firms, that the corruption cost, the gifts are very costly for them. They take from the little amount of turnover that they generate. Moving on to another matter that the president raised, that we are moving from the loan guarantee scheme to the bounce back scheme. The president mentioned that the new bounce back scheme incorporates the lessons learned from the previous loan guarantee scheme. It will involve development finance institutions and non-bank SME providers in offering finance to expand types of financing available and adjust eligibility criteria to encourage uptake for small businesses. And the reason for that is because the loan guarantee scheme did not perform as expected. 200 billion guarantee was available, but only about 9.2% was approved and taken up by June 2020. There were 50,000 applications that were received, 56% were rejected, 26% were approved by banks and taken up by the applicants. Another issue that was raised by the Banking Association of South Africa is that government never envisaged the loan guarantee scheme to provide grants and qualifying recipients had to be able to repay the loans. The banks were also not allowed to make profit. So perhaps moving from the loan guarantee scheme to the bounce back scheme, one of the issues that will be looked at is the provision of grants or a combination of grants and loans so that more businesses are able to access those funds. Businesses that were affected by COVID and businesses that have been affected by the violence that took place in July last year. So just to give you an idea of what the eligibility criteria is, I took this out of a website of one of the banks that were working together with National Treasury on the loan guarantee scheme. That is the eligibility criteria. Any company, close cooperation, partnership, joint venture, or any similar entity was eligible for the loan, but it excluded state-owned entities, listed companies, and companies with capital market funders or funding instruments. That's fine. Having an existing relationship of either lending or transactional banking with the bank, excluding the unbanked bank, being in good standing as at 31 December 2019, and this was a challenge for some SMMEs because even before COVID, the economy was ailing and some of the businesses were struggling already. So being registered with SARS, having no existing capacity to borrow, being adversely impacted by lockdown and requiring funding for qualifying expenses during lockdown or to restart operations under different lockdowns. An entity that has declared that it has not applied for this relief at any other bank. That is just to give you what businesses had to contend with when applying for the loan guarantee scheme. So Bansa says that some of the Banking Association of South Africa says that some of the reasons why the applications, the 56% of the applications were rejected is that they did not meet the eligibility criteria for the scheme as set out by Treasury and the Reserve Bank, or they did not meet the bank's risk criteria. The requested value of the loan was too high for the businesses to be reasonably expected to be able to repay it. The enterprise was not in good financial standing before the pandemic. Nevertheless, only about 9-10% of that scheme was utilized. So what do you do with the rest of the 90%, given that you have these challenges, businesses, 56% of businesses that ask for help, but we're not given that financial assistance? Next, we talk about honorable members and chairperson about, and colleagues, about what the business enabling environment and what the president said about red tape. It seems that the red tape reduction program is being moved to the presidency. And the president stated that government, through the Department of Small Business, is reviewing the Business Act alongside a broader review of legislation that affects SMMEs to reduce regulatory burden on formal and informal businesses. The president announced that he appointed Mr. Sipongosi, to lead a team that will focus members on cutting red tape, including mechanisms to ensure government departments pay suppliers within 30 days, simplify processes relating to property registration, cross-border trade, and construction permits. And what would be interesting there is how the Department of Small Businesses and the Red Tape Reduction Team, if it's called that, how they will work together, collaborate to even avoid duplications in their operations. How will they work together to reduce regulatory burdens? The ILO mentioned that, I think this is important, that yes, countries have to have regulations. Why do they have to have regulations? The conditions under which business activities take place must be governed by sound policy, laws, and regulation to ensure that all men and women can obtain decent and productive work in conditions of freedom, equity, security, and human dignity, so that there is no exploitation. However, when regulation is inefficient, then it affects the whole value chain negatively. It affects growth negatively, which means something must be done about it. And it's important that the president highlighted and is even put this section in the presidency to show that it's very important for unlocking business growth and creating employment. So some of the red tape that have been, okay, First of all, registering a business in South Africa is relatively quick and affordable when you're doing it online. But if you're in a rural area where there's no CITC, where there's no CEDA, then it might be difficult for you to be registered. So as you can see there, honorable members and chairperson, company registration is 125, and then the CITC says that it's 475 for non-profit company registered without members. The SMMEs face difficulties sometimes in complying with registration because of subsequent laws and regulations. For instance, though they can register, when they have to register their employees, imagine you're a small business, you have to register your employees with the Department of Labor Compensation Fund in order to comply with the Compensation of Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act. It takes you roughly 30 days. And according to the studies that I was looking at, if you looked at Chile, that kind of process takes only one day for them to complete. So these are some of the things that we need to look at. Hopefully the red tape reduction team will also look at that. Just to give you an idea, I don't know, members, if you know how many tax or the types of taxes that small businesses have to pay in the country. So that's why I put up that table there, honorable members. If you can see on that table, I got this from SARS. SARS has put together a guide for small businesses. But if you look at them, company income tax, that must be submitted once a year. Personal income tax, that must be submitted once a year. During filing season, VAT, every 2 months before the 25th. Pay as you earn monthly on or before the 7th. Provisional tax, twice a year. Turnover tax, once a year. Employee reconciliation, end of October and end of May. So for small businesses, it's sometimes costly to comply with SARS because sometimes lack of skill, education, and the resources to employ someone to help you with compliance. Because as the ILO says, that regulation is important. However, it must not be a burden on and a blockage on businesses. Other tape, SMMEs complain about costly environmental protection over and above other registration requirements, employee welfare tax regulation, applying for tax incentives, as mentioned earlier. The cost of compliance with obtaining Black Economic Empowerment Certification, and I believe it's not necessarily saying get rid of Black Economic Empowerment, but make it easy for companies to comply. Accessing a learnership through a sector education and training, compliance with labor laws, municipal regulations, licenses or sector-specific systems administered by local governments, among others. So if I can just go back there, that is basically some of the regulation that many businesses have to comply with. So you can imagine that especially for people, for small businesses, people don't have the skills, it must be cumbersome for them to comply with. Let's move on to the other matter that the president mentioned, that is paying suppliers within 30 days. So the consequence of delaying payments is that companies' growth is affected, employees, their families, business owners, and the wider society, they are negatively affected. Some end up using their savings, some end up assets end up being repossessed because of delayed payments. Government is one of the culprits. Out of 40 national departments, National Treasury says that only 8 8 departments managed to comply with this policy requirement. And the Department of Small Business Development, DG, is one of the departments that complied fully, that is, paid the paid suppliers within 30 days. National Treasury reports that unpaid provincial invoices in 2020-21 amounted to 26.6 billion rand, and at national level to 4.1 billion rand. That means that there are people who are waiting there for, they who have delivered services but are waiting for government to pay them for the services delivered, and sometimes they have to borrow in order to fulfill that service. But you have 26.6 billion and 4.1 billion that has not been paid. Government is not alone in this. Big businesses are also culprits. Some even have a 120-day payment policy. The B for the Business for South Africa was saying that since COVID, late payments are at an all-time high as small businesses are waiting too long to get paid. The average amount owed to small business is now at its highest level, members. In addition, when the problem persists too long, it can ultimately end up shutting down small businesses. So the Business for South Africa and the other organization associations have embarked on a pay in 30 campaign, which is calling on the private sector to also pay small business suppliers within 30 days. So what are the implications of all of this to the Portfolio Committee on Small Businesses? My recommendations are that today the Minister of Finance is giving his budget speech, and the President did mention that we must watch out for, the Minister of Finance will make pronouncements on the criteria for expanding participation in employment, tax incentives, for that will make it easier for small businesses to employ young people. Furthermore, request the Department of Small Businesses to and Treasury and Labor to brief the committee on the implementation and implications of expanding the criteria for participation in employment tax incentives. So to just give a brief overview of the employment tax incentive, the implications and the role that the departments are going to be playing in that regard, the role and the expected outcomes in that regard. Secondly, when the red tape reduction team has been established and it is ready to execute its responsibilities, the committee could consider requesting the presidency together with the department to brief the committee on the mandate and terms of reference so that we know what can we expect and how is it going to relate to small businesses. Request the Department of Small Businesses and relevant departments to brief the committee on the review of the Business Act, and we also know that we're also expecting legislation amendments in the portfolio committee, and in relation to regulatory burden and specifically informal businesses. Chairperson, Honorable Kruger has raised his hand.
No, Chairperson. No. I will wait until she finishes her presentation.
Okay. All right. Proceed, Navis.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Kruger. I'm also suggesting that the portfolio committee request the Department of Small Business Development and Trade, Industry and Competition to present on the Continental Free Trade Area Agreement and the new market opportunities for SMMEs and cooperatives. And I think this will benefit members, especially when they go to their constituencies, so that they understand what does this Africa Free Trade Continental Area mean for small businesses and what goals can they set themselves? Is it accessible to them? And how can they take advantage of this agreement? The Portfolio Committee could also request the Competition Commission to brief it on the initiatives in relation to leveling playing fields and opening up markets to new entrants, cooperatives and SMEs owned by historically disadvantaged and all SMEs owned by the historically disadvantaged. So the Competition Commission has conducted market inquiries. Perhaps we can invite them to just brief us on the outcomes of those inquiries in relation to small businesses, and also invite the private sector before SA to brief the committee on this initiative of Pay in 30 Days campaign. How is it going to be monitored and how is it being monitored, progress and the commitment from the private sector? Ask National Treasury and CIFA to brief the committee on the bounce back scheme and how it's going to be expanded, how uptake will be expanded, especially for struggling SMEs. Invite the department to elaborate on the review of the Business Act and the reduction of regulatory burden on informal sector. I think I did mention that somewhere before. So basically, those are some of the recommendations that I make in respect of the work, of the oversight work of the committee. But all in all, the most important thing that the president raised, two important things, is unleashing potential of small businesses, formal and informal, so that they can create jobs. And one of the ways of doing that is to reduce red tape and make it easy for small businesses to operate in the economy, to operate and participate in the economy. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, honorable members, colleagues, and DT.
Thank you, Nolisa, for the detailed presentation. It's opening our eyes. And this was information as well as recommendations. Honorable members, here we are. I will invite comments, because I can't say discussion, because this is a research and an analysis which will assist us moving forward together with the department, and also to check which other role players are supposed to be part of this. The issue of red tape, which has just been announced, as well as the treasurer himself, how is he going to expand this initiative by the president? So I will now invite a hands. It's broad. If we can stick to the recommendations, it will assist us to move forward. Because if we can stick to the recommendations by our researcher, it will assist us moving forward. I'm now inviting hands.
Chairperson,
you will assist me, yes.
Firstly, it's Mr. Honorable Kruger, and then yes, followed by Honorable Hendricks.
Mm.
Those are followed by Honorable de Villiers.
Mm.
Those are the one that has raised so far.
Okay. Honorable Kruger, can you come in, please?
Yes, thank you, ma'am, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I'm very happy to hear that bureaucrats also start to get passionful about red tape reform. This is good news for us, and of course, I sat on the edge of my chair when the president started talking about red tape, because I'm busy with red tape reform since 2014, and I think there's no politician in South Africa that know more about red tape reform than myself. And I agree 100% that the informal sector of small business are carrying the brunt of red tape. And that was my reasons from the beginning to become very passionate about red tape reform. Manche, listening to the president and the presenter, our researcher, we also need to look at the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor statistics. And they measure early stage entrepreneurial activity in South Africa and around the world. And in South Africa, the early stage entrepreneurial activity, and that just means people who think of starting a business and start working in a business, in South Africa is at low as 6.9% of all South Africa are in an early stage entrepreneurial activity. And just 10.1% of adults intend to start a new business in South Africa. And that is research, a worldwide research done. In Africa, it's more than 50%. So yes, we need to look at red tape. Yes, we need to look at finance. Yes, we need to look at market access. Yes, we need to look at all those things. But we also need to look at our education system. Yeah. We need to develop entrepreneurs. We need to, from a very early stage. That's one of my points. And then, Madam Chair, the mandate of the committee and, of course, Small Business Development Department, we need to sort that out. And thank you, our researcher also mentioned it. We need to go and have a look at the mandate. And, of course, if the mandate change of the department and it change away from red tape development, then we have to go and look at the budget, because there's a lot of money put aside for red tape reform. And we can't allow that the department do their little piece and then the president's office, Mr. Nkosi, do his thing. I mean, it's just going to be double cost. So I think there's some work to be done for the department so that we sort our mandate and, of course, our budget. Then, also, I just want to mention something in a presentation about take a lot and one day only and all these online businesses. We must remember, it looks like they are running the industry of online business, but they all started as very, very, very small businesses. And I think that is one of the mandates of this department and us as committee. We have to take very small businesses to become big business. And so we mustn't hit, take a lot and those businesses with a stick. We must rather go and visit them and find out how did they manage to come from a garage type of business to become a big player in the online business. And then, Madam Chair, the last thing I want to mention is that Professor Nivenason from Wits University did a research paper in 2019, and the research paper's name is The Effect of Regulations and Legislation on SMMEs in South Africa. And with your permission, Madam Chair, I will send the paper to King for distribution to all the members. Very interesting read, and I think something that everybody must take note of. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's my That's my point.
Thanks, Honorable Kruger, for your input, positive input, which will assist the committee and the department as well as the entire South Africa. You are at liberty to can send that paper because knowledge is powerful. Then let me call the next speaker, which is Honorable Hendrik.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, the recommendations by the content expert and researcher is very revolutionary, and I look forward to all the briefings that will arise from that, from the different entities that she has mentioned. I would have liked to hear more about the roadside businesses that the president referred to in Isona, and how we're going to deal with the municipalities which will use their bylaws to sabotage that particular initiative. Then lastly, Honorable Chair, one of the stakeholders that is not included in the number of people that needs to appear before the committee is the president himself. We need to invite the president to a portfolio committee to explain why he is saying that the private sector will create jobs. We've clearly heard now that that is a pipe dream. The private sector doesn't create jobs. And I think it's important that the committee engage the president with regard to his view, which he may have changed later on, that the private sector creates jobs. And because that is a conundrum that changes everything around, because we are gearing up and we are assisting the country and the president to create jobs using the resources and the enthusiasm of the informal sectors, small SMEs. And now suddenly we are told, no, the private sector, create jobs. You don't create jobs elsewhere.
When the minister did her, our current minister, Stella de Benny Abrams, when she did her roadshow, she very courageously and full of vigor proclaimed and was very aggressive about how she and the Department of Small Business Development will shut down businesses who are non-compliant, and that they will be at the forefront of closing down these businesses. And then we have Sona, just 2 weeks later, where the president has a completely different attitude, one which we as the DA absolutely support. We say, no, we must support small businesses. When we have businesses that are non-compliant, we must create the environment to help them become compliant, and not go on a witch hunt and find these businesses that are not compliant and try and shut them down. We must rather try and help them. So we've got a minister who says we must close down small businesses who are not compliant, and then a president who says, no, we must help these businesses. And then, unfortunately, the situation where a new position has been created in the presidency, which is actually going to do one of the most important jobs that our minister and our ministry is supposed to be doing. So this is creating a lot of confusion for me, and I honestly, it just doesn't look to me like there's a lot of confidence in our current minister. And quite frankly, small business development deserves better than that. We deserve a minister that's competent, that can actually account to us, which we can work together with to do the small business development that the president himself spoke about so passionately in his SONA debate, and which I'm sure we will hear referred to today in the budget speech. Nonetheless, just to move on to some of the other implications and recommendations that were made, I, in the same note, I think it is really important for us to have a meeting with Mr. Sipin Nkosi to try and understand what his job description or his obligations will be in the presidency, and how we can work with him, that there won't be a duplication of services, and that it will actually be a streamlined process. And then I really look forward to the proposed meeting with Business for South Africa for the Pay in 30 Days campaign, which is something which we wholeheartedly support. And it is absolutely unacceptable that government and private sector takes so long to pay small businesses. Because effectively, what are they doing, Chairperson? They are using small business to finance their own big businesses or to finance government's cash flow. So it is highly unfair that these small businesses, that their cash flow gets negatively affected by big business and big government who just don't pay their small suppliers within 30 days. They are using them like banks. They are abusing the position they have as being big government and big corporations because they know the small businesses don't have a lot of firepower to challenge them, which is one of the reasons why ombudsman legislation is so important, and it's something we keep on telling about, but we really need to see that piece of legislation come before us so we can create the ombudsman and review that legislation. And then just lastly, the review of the Business Act is very, very important, and I look forward to working with other departments that they can come before us and also the back of my comments.
Thank you, Honourable. Progressive inputs, indeed, I agree with you. We need to call Mr. Nkosi to come and brief us, as well as the department will also brief us on how are they going to work together. I heard Honourable Hendrik saying that the DM explained it's very important for us, because at the end of the day, the committee wants one who will come and account before us, most especially on the issue of budget, because what is key is job creation. Thank you so much, Honourable Davidus. Do we have any other hand, Bracken?
Yes, Chairperson. There's a hand from Ms. Honourable Tlomelang, and then there's also a hand from Honourable Jacobs, and I think Mr. Kruger also came back with the hand. I don't know, maybe we can start with Mr. Kruger.
Maybe it's a legacy hand. Can we check with him? Honourable Kruger, is your hand up again, or it was that legacy hand?
No, ma'am, my hand is up again, and I missed my last point. I'm very sorry. When Honourable Hendricks, say something, Ma'am Chair, I tabled two red tape reduction bills in my life in Parliament, and there's not many parliamentarians that table two private members' bills. And if you listen to the president, and you must remember, I don't know the detail of that unit, but if you listen to that the president's speech, it seems like he took a page out of my bill, or my private member's bill, and that's what's worrying me. When we as a opposition have a lot of input. But it seems like nobody takes it to heart. If they took my private member's bill to heart in 2016 already, imagine how far we would have been. Because then Mr. John Corsi is already, and 5 years down the line, we will clap hands and say, listen, the environment of doing business in South Africa, it's now level, and every business can do its business. And that's just a comment I want to make. Thank you, Mathieu.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. I think we have started now. This analysis by our researcher will assist us to move forward. So such issues will also be raised. But what is critical is to have common goal. We may come from different directions, but at the end of the day, what we want is to see small business growing, small businesses getting assistance. And then we will say we are winning. So we are hard at work as the portfolio committee. Thank you so much, Honorable Kruger. Honorable Bridget?
Chairperson, sorry, before Honorable Bridget, I'll request you to also note Honorable Mieni. Did you get it, Chair?
Yes, I got it. Honorable Samelana, come in, and then Honorable Jacobs will come in, and then Honorable Mien may come in, and then the last one will be Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm audible, Chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are audible, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation by our researcher and further say that this presentation was very informative, Chairperson. I want to start by saying I also welcome the recommendation by our researcher. Looking at the 30 days that is not adhered to by government and private sectors that is affecting or killing our small business, I think the campaign is needed as in of yesterday, Chairperson. We must support it. And also, I do agree to the review of the Act, of the Business Act, Chairperson. But my concern remains that the issue of the red tape, I think during our discussion with Mr. Ngosi from the presidency, I think we'll be able to deal with many other issues. Because I have few proposals that I want to make that maybe we need to help our small businesses with so that we can deal away with the red tapes. One of the issues, Chair, one is I think we need to help to make sure that we put more time on helping our small businesses to budget for emergencies, Chairperson. And also make sure that we empower them so that small businesses can make the decision the way their day-to-day work is being performed. And the other point is, I think we also need to set spending limits for them so that they can improve their internal processes. And the other thing that I think we need to help our small businesses with is to improve communication, Chairperson, amongst themselves. And if they have issues, they need to improve communication with the department so that they can advise timely. The other point, Chairperson, the issue of coaching and mentoring. Even if we think that the small businesses can stand on its own, I think it must be a project that continues up until we are sure that that business will still exist even beyond Chairperson. And I think we need to help them to understand the difference between the bad decision and the good decision. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because our small businesses, when you look at the red tapes, I was listening to the presentation where there was an indication that at some point, some of our small businesses, they will make requests or make application to the department or to CIFA. And at some point, because they are not well trained, they get frustrated along the way, Chairperson. And at some point, good businesses end up dying along the way because they get frustrated along the process. So I think we need to check the mandate of the guy who's employed in the presidency will be dealing with small businesses and ourselves. And then we come together, Chairperson. You said we all have a common goal, of which I'm agreeing to it, that we need to make sure that we empower our small businesses with all the information, and our lines of communication must be such a way that if they pick a problem, the small businesses, they must be able to get help immediately. Hence, I'm saying the communication line needs maybe to be open up, and we need to intervene as soon as yesterday so that we don't wait for the business to die, and then we are saying our small businesses are dying in our hands, Chairperson, because we'll be helping our country to develop jobs. So I was saying I'm supporting the recommendation by our researcher. It's a good work, but I wanted to add those points because I think those points, looking at my small eyes, because I'm not a business person, I think some of them are the ones that are making our small businesses to die along the way because of the frustration, the processes of government, because when they don't get help immediately, some they will be requested resubmit this, and then along the way some they do lose they do lose patience, and then the businesses will end up dying. But I think the key issue is the review of Business Act and the campaign of the 30 days pay in. But all in all, I do support Chairperson. That is all my input. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Somelan. The next speaker is Honorable Meen. Over to you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Chairperson. Most of my points have been taken by Somelan, but I think I've got 2 points left. Let me firstly welcome the presentation by our presenter. And I think we need to deal also, I think it has been said by De Villiers about the minister.
De Villiers, not De Villiers.
Yeah, I think there is a misunderstanding between Mr. De Villiers and the minister. I heard the minister saying what Mr. De Villiers said, but he was not quoting it as Mr. De Villiers was saying it now. I think we need to deal with that so that we can sort our problems. And the other thing, Honorable Chair, is that most of the South African banks, they don't support small business. I think that is what we need to look at immediately so that it can be sorted out. Lastly, the domination by the big business, dominating the small business. I think that is the other thing which, as the portfolio committee, we need to deal with so that we can sort it out immediately. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mieni. Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you, Chair, and speaking to
Chairperson.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Jacobs. I'm just requesting that you also note the hand of Honorable Zumuda.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I proceed, Chair?
Yes, proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So I share the sentiments of all the members before me. I want to thank our researcher, Comrade Momabisi, for a very comprehensive. We support all the recommendations, and I think it's up to the officials now to implement those, practicalize those recommendations. I think the one thing that we as this portfolio must take is that the President raised very clearly that we need to get far-reaching changes in the sector to unleash the job creation. I think our researcher basically outlined that it's the IOL, 90% of the jobs is in the informal traders, informal sector. So we must open and unlock the opportunities. I think we spoke about the legislative framework. The President also spoke about cannabis and industrial hemp and the creation of possibly 130,000 jobs. Now, we've seen other industries where multinationals will come and buy cannabis and hemp and decimate the small business and the informal traders that we have. We shouldn't allow that. So as this portfolio, we must ensure that the cannabis master plan, and in fact, all the master plans, industrial master plans, must have a local liquor, local set-aside program to ensure that our local informal also benefit from this. From in the banks, we need to get National Treasury and BASA, the Banking Association of South Africa, and say what are the lessons that they've learned and how are they going to use the new lessons in the bounce back scheme. Access to finance is critical. And if need be, banks mustn't make so much profits, I think so be it. We must ensure that money becomes affordable. It's easy for them to sell loans for productive use of assets and of building our economy. We must also make loans and incentives for both blended finance and loans. So I think that's going to be crucial, that we get banks, BASA and the National Treasury and development finance, because if we get that sorted out, here we need legislative clarity, and here the department must play a key role, and I agree with getting Mr. Nkosi to come in and demonstrate what is the Red Tape Reduction Committee. But we need a legislative framework. SALGA must sort out municipalities who continually victimize and evict informal traders. Here in Cape Town, our informal traders are chased off the main streets of Wynberg, of Klipfontein, and we see the same thing happening in Joburg. So we must have a friendly bylaws, and SALGA must come to the party on that. We see Gauteng and KZN have a township economy bill. We must ensure that also be captured into the process. Then, Chair, we have big infrastructure projects. The President spoke about the infrastructure fund, the 100 billion allocated, the water projects, the infrastructure projects. We need to ensure, I think there's a 1.8 billion for bulk infrastructure, there's 2.6 from the private sector for development. We need to ensure all of these big projects also get local set-aside targets, so that we ensure local also access from these big projects that we have. I think people have misinterpreted the President's call when he says we need more private sector to help with job creation. No, it's not an either-or, it's an and. I think we are saying that framework, we must help with steering and provide incentives. But we're also asking the private sector to come to the party. We're going to provide incentives for them to take more young people. The President spoke about that. But we want to get South Africans working. And we want to make labor more friendly. But at the same time, we want the investment strike by our own private capital to stop. They must invest in South Africa. I think the key thing is about local made. We want to thank people like Moshini. They are now more than 80% of their stuff is made in South Africa. And that, so we must get the supermarkets, we must get the chemists, we must get the pharmacy, we must get all of them. And come and say, explain why this monopoly capital is still working here. The Competition Commission must come to us and account. How are we going to ensure that ShopRite, Pick and Pay, all of them have local products made in South Africa on their shops and have a bigger in the malls of small business so that we don't just have this key thing going. Lastly, Chair, I want to talk about the African Free Trade Agreement. And we must talk to our sister department in DTI to ensure that local women, black and youth get involved in this continental free trade. It's very exciting, but we must get all our informal sector on board. So, Chair, in short, I want to thank the researchers. And as this committee, we must now keep ourselves accountable. We must make appointments with BASA, with the banks, with the Competition Commission, with National Treasury, and with all of these people to ensure oversight. Because our job is to push that these things happen for the betterment of our people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs, for the positive inputs. Indeed, as the portfolio committee, we need to do oversight. But if we don't have direction, it becomes a problem. Each and everyone must come before us and explain how far are they on this one. How far are they on this one? I really appreciate and also thank our researcher for the wonderful job she has done for us today. Honorable Zungula, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, I want to join in and welcome the presentation by our colleagues. There's two things, Chair, I want to talk about, perhaps three. The first one, Chair, it's the minister to regularly account to the committee. We need the minister to take serious the community by being part of the program so that we understand where is her mind, how can we as the community play effective oversight by basically engaging the minister on the programs they may have as a department, because the department is the implementing body. The second issue, Chair, is the issue of legislative directive that compels government organs, state organs, when it comes to utilizing SMMEs in their spending. Because the biggest problem that we have in the country is that the reports say over 80% of the government spending go to big businesses. There is nothing legislative that we as a committee are coming up with to direct the government organs to say at least a certain percentage should be set aside for small businesses, because it's not enough to say let us influence people to buy from SMMEs, because as a legislative body we need to come with legislative amendments or legislative directives in order for us to fulfill our political ideas. If the president speaks about a political idea of having the country supporting SMMEs, we need to translate that into law so that we are able to make sure that it does and it is implemented by the respective organs of the state. The last issue, Chair, even if it was not mentioned, but it should be something that should always be of the grave concern, the dominance of non-South Africans, particularly in the SMME sector, which is the informal economy, etc. The Northwest Chamber of Business released a report that stipulates that 82% of the informal businesses or SMMEs in Northwest are run by people who are not South African. Therefore, it cannot be, Chair, that we ignore this or it does not form part of our discussion, because if that is the case in Northwest, perhaps it is the case in all of the provinces in the country. And what will what benefits are the citizens of the country having if we are not offering any form of sanity when we allow such dominance to occur in our country, whereby more than 80% of the businesses in that province, it is run by people that are not coming from South Africa. As Honorable Jacobs has said, that percent of the jobs are created based on the report, are created in the SME sector. Therefore, if we do not look at this, then it may as well mean that perhaps jobs are to a certain extent in our country by the SMEs, but the recipients or the beneficiaries are not South Africans, given that statistics that we saw or read in Northwest. And it can't be, Chair, that as a committee, we are saying nothing about the enforcement of the laws when it comes to people coming from outside of the country, trading in the country, but you find that they are not trading within the law. It should bother us, especially if they are trading in the space that we are responsible in, which is the SME space, because it can't be, like Honorable Jacobs has also said, that bylaws, when they're enforced, for example, in the cities of Cape Town,
they are enforced to an extent whereby it does disadvantage South Africans. But to a certain extent, South Africans, there's nothing they can do because the law is the law. If the law states that they cannot trade in a particular area, they cannot trade in particular times, they need to have permits, they need to abide by those laws, because if we have a country that lets law and order, then we do not have a country at all. Therefore, it can't be that people will come from Asia, come from all of the far parts of the world, settle in our country, trade without trading within the law, and we say nothing. Whereas when it comes to South Africans, we are expected that South Africans must abide to the fullness of the law. So there needs to be something that is done, Chair. Lastly, this thing, it is a ticking time bomb. You've seen how the Operation Dudula is operating in Gauteng and in some parts of the country. You've also seen organizations going to the shops that are owned by non-South Africans, checking if they are selling goods that are not expired and all of those things. Therefore, if we as the committee do not provide proper oversight and leadership, then we are going to fail. And when we fail, people will lead themselves. And when people lead themselves, it might lead to violence. It might lead to loss of life. That is why we as a community need to be proactive and ensure that we provide sanity by ensuring that at all given times, in all sectors in our country, the dominance must be the locals. That is the first thing. The second thing, that the law must apply to everyone. It can't be that a person will simply be exempt from the law because they are not South African, but if a South African, they need to abide by the law. So those are the things, even though the last one, it is not part of the SONA, but it is something, Chair, that we need to have a look at, because it is something that is a ticking time bomb, and if we do not have a solution for it, or if we do not provide leadership for it, it will cause problems for our country, it will cause problems for non-citizens who are coming and to trade in our country, it will cause problems for the stability of our country. That is why it's critical that we provide effective leadership on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zungula, for the positive and constructive inputs. I believe our officials are noting down all those points, more especially on the issue of legislative, again, on the issue of SALGA. I think one of the sectors which might be called by the Portfolio Committee is SALGA, because we can't come here always and lament on an institution which is part of us. Because if you want to heal diseases, you must diagnose the cause. And we can see that those bylaws are our stumbling block. I'm so impressed about those points, so that we must assist our government, must assist our president moving forward. I believe SALGA needs to be called so that they give us their I believe our officials will take them and list them and communicate with those other stakeholders, which we might. The first one should be Mr. Nkosi, because this is urgent. Let's go back to our agenda. I think.
Well, no, Chair, maybe not Mr. Beck.
But I thought you are jotting it down. There is no need for response to me, because honorable members have a highly appreciated the recommendation as well as the us on the way forward from here, but not to respond, they were just adding on what she has presented for us. But I must respect you as well as herself.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. I have noted the comments, roadside informal traders, non-South African traders, and other points. And I also want to mention that I sent the full document to Mr. King, who will also, I think, has dispersed it already or has emailed it to the members. But I just want to say thank you very much for the input. And from now on, I believe we, the Secretariat, will sit down and see how we can put your input recommendations into action to assist the committee with its oversight role. Thank you, Shepherd.
Thank you, Ceci. King, can you go back to to our agenda, which I think is adoption of the minutes.
Before, Chair, if we go there, I just wanted also to remind members that some of the points that were raised by the researcher, those are the things that should also be checked when the department is presenting on their analysis of SONA, so that if maybe there are things that the department has missed, the committee can request the department to be included that in their APP or in the EAS they goes by. So it's not only for the committee, but it's only for members to check against the presentation that will be done by the department in the coming week. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think the DM is in, the DG is here, and they are familiar with what you have said. Thank you so much, Brother King. Can you go back to our agenda and present the minutes and adopt them?
Chairperson, these are the minutes of Wednesday, 16 February 2022.
Yes, let's go page by page for corrections. Any correction? Next page, please. Any correction on this page? If nothing, let's move. Any correction? Thank you. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired on that day?
Chairperson?
Yes, honorable member.
Yes, honorable Kamela, here. I do move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired on that day.
Thank you. Any second, honorable members? Honorable members, can we second the minutes? Thank you, Honorable Vengo. Let's go back to the agenda, Rakim. The minutes are duly adopted. That is our last item. I can't see.
In fact.
Closing remarks. Yes. Honorable members, I just want to thank honorable members as well as the department, the DG, the ministers, as well as our officials for the wonderful work and for the constructive meeting we had today. I'm happy that we'll be having a program of action from here. Let's wait for the budget speech as well as the speech by the minister, which we think we'll get a briefing after that. This was one of the best meetings I ever had since we joined this PC. And I believe we will be energetic to can move forward and make sure that things are happening. If the portfolio committee is not active on issues of oversight, nothing will really happen. But I'm impressed each and every member was speaking from his or her heart. And I believe moving together, we will win this battle of poverty. Thank you. Thank you so much. The meeting stands adjourned.